Hello, and welcome to the Impassioned Marriage Podcast. I am your host, David Feldman, a licensed marriage therapist, but please don't hold that against me. And today we will be speaking about the three best steps to recreate intimacy in your marriage. But before we begin, let's set up some definitions and foundational understandings. First, when we talk about intimacy, what do we mean? Well, there's a general definition and a more specific definition. As a general definition, intimacy describes the feeling of truly being seen, known by, and connected to our partner. It is the holy grail of close relationships, connection, and unification. It is the magic that brings us together. It ignites passion, long talks, and shared silent moments. It is the elixir that gives hope to our lives, meaning and joy to our commitments. Intimacy goes beyond chemistry, as it is founded on trust, vulnerability, and love. But on a more specific level, when broken down, there are six types of intimacy. The first one is called emotional intimacy. This is when we have a close connection to our partner such that we can share our innermost thoughts and feelings. The next type of intimacy would be called intellectual. This is our ability to share ideas, our ideologies, perhaps a book that we've read, and some life perspectives. A third type of intimacy is physical intimacy, and this does not mean sexual. Affection and touching, anything from hugging to holding hands and cuddling on the couch. This is our comfort level with physically touching and connecting with our partner. Another type of intimacy, the fourth type, is called experiential intimacy. Have you ever met couples that love to do things together, whether it's riding bikes or taking a walk? Some more adventurous couples like to go kayaking together, or some just like doing crossword puzzles together or sharing a good book. This is when we share experiences with our partner and we feel very connected in so doing. The fifth type of intimacy is called spiritual intimacy. This is when we connect closely with our partner in our spiritual theologies and our ideologies. It doesn't necessarily mean religious, but meditation, perhaps seeing a beautiful sunset, or connecting closely in prayer and other type of spiritual rituals. And of course, the last type of intimacy would refer to sexual intimacy. And this is, of course, through connecting through a sexual union and experience. So these are the different levels of intimacy and different types of intimacy that we can have with our partner. So where did it go? What happens to our intimacy over time, and why do we have to recreate our intimacy? They say in business that it can take years to gain a client and only minutes to lose one. And the same holds true for intimacy. Like trust, it is difficult to create, yet it is easy to destroy. A snide comment, a deception, one bitter fight, or even a persistent negative thought. These can easily break the bonds of intimacy and instead fill the void with coldness and distance. But when we first enter into a relationship, we are so excited, so full of exuberance and fantasy, that we tend to completely overlook our partner's faults. We are so overwhelmed with our own feelings of love and passion that we just don't see anything that our partner does that's uncomfortable or wrong or hurtful. But over time, these little slights add up. The mistakes are noticed and not forgiven nearly as quickly. Resentment grows and trust slips. Intimacy suffers. And this can happen in any of the levels of intimacy that we discussed earlier. I remember hearing a story of a young couple who had a great relationship, and the man was always a little bit more aloof, but his spouse, his partner, was so in love with him that his rebuffing her never really bothered her at all. She would always like to come up and snuggle with him on the couch and hold his hand and stroke his hair and touch him physically. And they had a great dynamic going until one day she came up to him on the couch and sat next to him and kind of, you know, cozied up to him. And he turned to her and gave her this kind of intense look of, hey, give me some space. And instead of her reacting as she normally did with a smile and just kind of further snuggling up to him, I guess she had had enough and she'd taken it really personally. And from then on, she never would come up to him again. She never would approach him again with physical affection. And that level of intimacy was destroyed in their relationship. And it took him years and lots of apologies and other types of actions in order to make up that 1 2-second stare that he had given her that had really turned her off. So it's, like I said, it's very easy to lose a level of intimacy. And if you're listening to this podcast on intimacy, there's a chance that you also have an interest in repairing your relationship on some level and rebuilding the connection and the closeness that once was. So today I'd like to share with you 3 ways that you can do just that. Using these methods, you can create a foundation of intimacy that will be much stronger than what you had in the past. I know this because not only have I helped many clients do this, I've had to do it myself. But in keeping with known wisdom, we will be focusing on ways that you can increase intimacy, not your partner. Be prepared to learn and make some changes. This is not a guide on how to get your partner to change, but it will get them to change for sure. The methods to recreate intimacy shared here will aid you in feeling closer, more connected to your partner. And I have yet to meet any person who did not respond in kind. The 3 tips that increase intimacy revolve around what's called the relationship trilogy: thought, speech, and action. Because thought, speech, and action are the 3 ways that we interact in our relationship. Notice that emotions, the heart, is not included. This is because according to almost all modes of therapy, spiritual growth, and even self-help gurus, the heart follows the mind, reflects your speech, and is influenced by your actions. To recreate intimacy and to affect the heart, we must first reprogram what we are thinking, how we communicate, and what we are doing. By adjusting your thoughts, speech, and actions, your heart will shift and create a new, more intimate emotional reality for your partnership. Let's begin. Step 1. The practice of gratitude. Perhaps the most important of all 3 steps is this first one, the attitude of gratitude. More and more research is coming out about the power of this character trait, not only to influence your relationship, but primarily on the gratitude practitioner themselves. One of my favorite resources for gratitude, something that got me really started on this journey of gratitude and understanding its connection to relationships, is by a woman named Haley Bartholomew and her incredible project at 365grateful.com. If you visit the website, you'll see that she describes her incredible journey and transformation from a depressed individual to a joyous one. Haley admits to seeing only the negative for a long while, and she saw the negative in her husband, her children, and life in general. Basically, she was a depressed person. All of her relationships suffered, until one day she decided to flip the gratitude switch. She committed to working on her ability to consciously focus on the positive, and she put it into practice by doing something really creative. She photographed everything that she appreciated every day. And I'm going to quote her as she states, quote, "Taking one photo every day of something I was grateful for really reprogrammed my brain," says Haley. "Seeing and celebrating the good in my life affected not only the way I felt spiritually and physically, but it also improved my relationships with others too." The art of gratitude takes more than just a mind shift. Haley turned her life and relationships around, and so can you. But it takes focus, thought, and expression. Gratitude is about bringing to the forefront of your consciousness an appreciation of your partner's positive qualities and actions. This is something everybody can access in relation to any person, because everybody has positive qualities and does good actions. And how much more so with your spouse. And there are three steps that you need to take in order to really get into this gratitude mode. The first step is to notice it. I mean, you just actually literally have to notice it. Start out by noticing one to two things your spouse does that you can be grateful for. It could be anything, such as mowing the lawn, making school lunches for the kids. Maybe she dresses nicely or he gets dressed nice during the day. Maybe your spouse goes to the gym, takes care of their body. The nice thing about noticing gratitude is that literally, if you are searching for it, there are thousands of ways you can appreciate your partner. Retrain your mind to focus on those ways every day. The next thing you need to do in order to practice the art of gratitude is to express it. So once you've noticed it, you need to learn how to convey your expression of gratitude towards your spouse. This can be done through texting your spouse an appreciative message, or leaving a note, or telling them over the phone, or if you have enough courage to tell them face to face. Here are some examples. Quote, "I'm so appreciative of how you make our children a priority." Or, "I'm so grateful to have such a capable man as my husband." How about, "I appreciate how you make our house into a home." Or, "I feel safe coming home knowing that you are here." These are all ways to convey your gratitude to your spouse. And the third step to practice the art of gratitude is through consistency. Make it a daily practice. Yes, I know this is challenging, but it is so important, especially at first. Make it a habit to mention 2 to 3 things you appreciate about your spouse every day. Do this for 2 weeks straight. Your entire outlook will transform, and so will your relationship. Okay, that is part of our thoughts. Now let's take a look at how we can use our speech to increase our intimacy. This one's going to be a little different. Step 2 is to eliminate criticism completely. As per the saying, the pen is mightier than the sword. It is through the expressed words that worlds are created and destroyed. As a matter of fact, according to Kabbalah, Jewish mysticism, the entire universe was created by the 10 utterances of God's speech. But in relationships, what is not said is oftentimes more important than what is said. And I would add that what is not said is much more important. There's been a lot of research about this. According to Dr. John Gottman, the 4 largest predictors of relationship distress and ultimately divorce are caused by speech. He calls them the 4 horsemen of the apocalypse: criticism, contempt, defensiveness, and stonewalling. And it is my position that through eliminating the first, criticism, the other three will fall. This is because without criticism, you cannot express contempt. And without criticizing, there's no need to be defensive. And without all the negativity, there is no reason to stonewall. So removing criticism in all forms isn't easy. We are used to labeling bad behavior, making snide comments, or even jokes and laughing at the mistakes of others, just to name a few. And criticism can even be more subtle, such as overconfidently stating your opinion after your partner has stated theirs. As difficult as it is, the benefits to your relationship cannot be overstated. Nobody wants to connect with a critical person, and this is obvious. To foster a sense of vulnerability, trust, and intimacy, criticism must be eliminated. But this is not to say that you cannot express how you feel about things. You can and must express your feelings, but without criticism. No judgment in your words. This topic is pretty broad, and I will be having future podcasts focusing on how to do this. But eliminating criticism in all forms is something I have done in my relationships and something I work with my clients on. It is crucial to a healthy relationship, and I cannot stress it enough. This brings us to step number 3, action. Doing acts of loving kindness. One of the benefits of increasing acts of kindness is that nothing reorients our entire gestalt, our outlook and worldview, like doing. Ask any exercise coach, motivational speaker, or life coach. The most effective method to bring about real change in yourself and those around you is adherence to the mantra, just do it. There is empirical evidence to support this position as well. In an article for Psychology Today, Dr. Noam Schmancher explains that, quote, recent research in clinical psychology has shown that the fastest way to change an emotion is to change the behavior attached to it. The shortest, most reliable way to change how you're feeling is to change what you're doing. When you feel bad, don't wait to feel good to do what you love. Start doing what you love, and good feelings will likely follow. The doctor continues, quote, many people assume that the link between emotion and behavior is one way, that emotions shape behavior. You love him, therefore you kiss him. You hate him, therefore you hit him. This view is incorrect. Much of the time, our behavior actually shapes our emotions. In this way, doing acts of loving kindness for your partner will bring about feelings of connection, love, and intimacy. But acts of kindness for women are different than for men. When we're doing acts of kindness for women, it is widely known and empirically shown that while women value romance and chemistry, they mainly prioritize safety, security, and honor. By doing something that says, I want to take care of you rather than I love you, you are shifting the gesture away from your emotional experience and towards her lived experience. You are expressing through action that you want to make her life easier, better, and more pleasurable. Focusing on her physical and emotional needs rather than your own is in itself an act of intimacy. On a personal level, a few years back, I was frustrated with some aspects of my family life. My relationship with my own wife and children felt a bit distant, frustrating, and disconnected. One day I had this aha moment. I realized that before I headed off to work, I had a good 20 minutes to spare. Why not make my wife and kids a nice breakfast? Again, it was a crazy idea, but at the time, I thought it was a good one. I took down the waffle maker, whipped up some healthy spelt flour batter, and in about 10 minutes had 2 warm and delicious waffles waiting for my kids. And for my wife, I decided on fried eggs and baked crackers made exactly the way she likes. 15 minutes from start to finish. I started doing this every day. I call it breakfast therapy. This is easy, simple, and shows protection and honor. This went on for years, and I felt so much closer to both my kids and to my wife by giving to them every day. And there's a science behind this as well. According to Dr. Daniel Carlson, in his article on relationship satisfaction, doing an act of domestic kindness, such as doing the dishes, directly leads to relationship satisfaction and ultimately better sex. Who knew? Now, for men, things are a little bit different. We're not nearly as concerned about security or protection as we are respect. Men want to know that their wives support them, believe in them, and honor them. This may oftentimes express itself through a supportive gesture that lets him know that you respect him, believe in him, and support him. As I tell my clients, a man doesn't need you to do things for him. He wants you to do things for him. Shanti Feldhahn, the author of The Kindness Challenge, 30 Days to Improve Any Relationship, recommends doing a small act of kindness or generosity. According to Mrs. Feldhahn, quote, kindness doesn't just mean being nice to your husband. It means being positive, affirming, and generous to and about him, especially when you feel like none of the above. Nothing elaborate is necessary. It could be something as simple as making him a cup of coffee, or baking something yummy that he likes, or putting on a perfume that gets him excited. Be creative. There are so many little ways that you can show him love and appreciation. So let's put it all together. Thought, speech, and action form the foundation of our relationships. They are the vehicles through which we connect. By aiming towards intimacy with acts of kindness, proper speech by eliminating criticism, and grateful, appreciative thoughts, our heart has no choice but to follow forward, creating a space for love to flourish. And this is true intimacy, the union of our outer expressions in alignment with our inner, heartfelt emotions, creating a sacred connection between two halves of the same soul. Thank you for listening, and join me next week for another episode of The Impassioned Marriage.